You turn in your Bibles, please, to our Old Covenant reading, Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. And when you're ready, we'll stand for the reading of God's holy and inspired word. Isaiah chapter 9, beginning at verse 2, listen to God's holy an inspired word. These are the words of God. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden, the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as in the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult, and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts we'll do this. Amen. Now would you turn in your Bibles to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. This morning we're going to be looking particularly at verse 4 through 9. But let's read from the beginning of the chapter. John chapter 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, it's by your infinite mercy and grace towards us that we are in this place at this time. We know that we're not here by accident. You have brought us here this morning. So Lord, as we come and as we consider your word, we pray, O God, that you would speak to each and every single one of us by your Holy Spirit. Lord, that you would penetrate our minds and our hearts, that you would do a work within us, that for those of us who are Christians here this morning, that we would rejoice in our Savior and rejoice in your mercy towards us. And for those who are far off from you and who have cast you aside even this day, O God, be merciful and be the God of their salvation. Would you do it, Lord? Speak to us now, we pray, and forgive our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. If you were ever to visit Wales, which wouldn't be the worst idea, it's a beautiful country, I would recommend that you schedule an afternoon to go to a place called Blaenavon. Because in Blaenavon, there's an old, no longer in use coal mine, which is called the Big Pit. And when you go to the Big Pit, you go 300 foot down into the bowels of the earth and you get a tour and you hear about some of the stories of what happened with the miners and the pit ponies and everything else. But one time during this tour, when you're 300 foot underground, the man who leads the tour, he tells you to put the wee light on your helmet off. And you put your light off and it's darkness. It's utter darkness. And you can shake your hand in front of your face and you cannot see anything. It's completely black. It is utter darkness. But you know, I don't think you need to go to Blaenavon to see such a darkness. I think you know as well as I know that such a darkness has engulfed America. Such spiritual darkness. You don't need me to tell you that, do you? Here's some statistics in case you're interested. I'm not saying this as a Brit. I'm saying this as a someone who lives in America. I'm not being xenophobic. I'm just telling the facts. 13,000 professional, hardcore pornographic films are made in America every year. 13,000. And they make $10 billion worth in profit. And the average age of the first-time viewer is 10. And that's just a reminder to us parents, we cannot be too cautious with our kids and technology. Quarter of pregnancies end in mothers murdering their babies. That's 600,000 slaughtered every year in America. We live in a culture that celebrates homosexuality. We live in a country where children as young as 4 can be classified as transsexual. 40,000 Americans commit suicide every year. 2,220,300 people are in prison. 2.25 million people are in prison in America. Over 4,000 churches close every year and so on. Our nation is in darkness. Why is our nation in darkness? Well, the answer is quite easy, actually. Our nation is in darkness because the heart of man is so dark. Don't tell me that there's an inner light. There's only darkness. God says, let there be light. And man says, no. Let there be darkness. And if you are here today and you have rejected God and you have cast aside his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and I say to you this morning that your heart is as dark as the coal mines of Blaenavon. If you've cast God aside, you are a rebel. And it's like you've said to him, I don't care about you. I don't care about your truth. You don't dare to be the God of me. I will worship myself and I will worship creation instead of the Creator. If you have cast God aside, then I say to you this morning, you are like a Walmart trolley. One of those dodgy ones with the wheels, and it doesn't matter how hard you try to get to the chocolate aisle, the trolley keeps pulling aside. You're a broken Walmart trolley before God if you have rejected him and your conscience is perverted. And your reason is perverted. And you're stained by ignorance and pride and earthly mindedness, and your heart is darkened by greed and lust and envy and selfishness and self-centeredness and idolatry. You're lost. And you're in paralyzing darkness. If you went down those 300 feet into the bowels of the earth, the big pit, what could you do in such a darkness? What life could you live in such a darkness? You would have an empty, miserable, fruitless existence. And I say to you, if your heart is in such spiritual darkness, what can you accomplish? You can do nothing. Apart from God, you can do nothing. And I say that I was in the darkness too. I loved the darkness because I loved my sin and I refused to give it up. And that's what John says in chapter 3 in verse 19. Jesus says this, and this is the judgment. The light has come into the world and the people loved the darkness rather than the light. Why? Because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light lest his works should be exposed. Long my imprisoned spirit lay fast bound in sin and nature's night. I was dead in my trespasses and sins because I loved my sin and I was blind and I was living in the darkness. And in these verses this morning, John points us to the light. John points us to the light. Look again at verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. You know, we derive life from our parents, and ultimately from God. But Jesus didn't derive life. He is life in and of himself. He has always possessed life in himself. And John comes along and he says, this Jesus, this life was the light of men, he says. Now, what's he thinking about there when he says that Jesus is the light of men? Is he talking about actual light? Is he talking about, you know, like Acts chapter 9 when Paul is walking along and Jesus reveals himself to Paul and there's an exceedingly bright light and Paul falls to the ground? Or is he still thinking about verse 3? Is he thinking about a creative light when darkness was over the deep of the earth and God said, let there be light, and there was light? I think John is thinking foremost about a spiritual light manifested in God incarnate. You see, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. He is holy, he is pure, he is just, he is clean, he is good. And this light of God emanates from the incarnate Son of God upon the black canopy of humanity. John is thinking about spiritual light revealed in God incarnate. And usually when we come to John, you know, we read John, or maybe this is just me, and then I think we get to verse 14. Ah, there's God incarnate. There's the incarnation, verse 14. But actually, I think we have it in verse 4 and 5. John is thinking about the incarnate Christ coming into the world. Spiritual light coming and exposing the darkness. And I can prove it to you in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. We read it at the beginning. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, On them his light shined. And then a few verses later, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given. The Holy Son of God came into the world and he exposed the darkness. That's why the world hated him. That's why the world crucified him. This world didn't want the light. That is, it didn't want Christ incarnate. The world did not know him, verse 10. His people did not receive him, verse 11, because they wanted to languish in their sin and rebellion and unbelief. They didn't want spiritual light manifested in Christ incarnate. And it's interesting that these verses are in the present tense. John actually says the light is shining in the darkness. The light is still exposing the darkness, and humanity still shrinks away from him. But praise God this morning, if you are a Christian, if you belong to Jesus Christ, you couldn't overcome his light with your darkness. You couldn't overcome him. Verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Now the word there is katalabin, and it could be translated grasped or apprehended. But I think we can translate it overcome or mastered or overpowered or conquered or extinguished. And wasn't that your experience, Christian? Can you rejoice in that this morning, that you were an enemy of God? You were blind. You were in the darkness. But when the incarnate Christ came and shone his light on you, that is when he revealed himself to you. And he gave you a new heart. And he exposed your sin and the sinfulness of your sin. And you repented of your sin. And you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's because you didn't overcome him. You didn't katalabin him. You didn't extinguish him. But his light, he overcame you. His light shone in your darkness because King Jesus subdued you to himself and his light overcame you. And the light triumphed in your heart and he exposed your sin and rebellion and corruption, and he brought you out of the darkness, up the mineshaft, and if you like, into his glorious presence. And so you can sing, long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Then I diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. That is our experience. And the light is still shining throughout the earth, and the darkness still cannot extinguish it, cannot overcome it. And the gospel has weaved throughout all of history, and Christ is still liberating people from the darkness and bringing them into his light, a great multitude that no man can number, from every nation, people, tribe, and tongue. And every elect person will yield to the life-giving, darkness-expelling, saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world. You might be tempted, as I am tempted sometimes, to be discouraged when you look around. When you see such dark darkness all around you, and sometimes you even want to say with Elijah, where are the 7,000? And if that's you, and sometimes that's me, I say, don't do that. Don't do that. The light is still shining. The darkness is dark, but the light is still shining. You know, I struggled moving from rural Wales to Charlotte, a big city like that. My everyday experience was CVS's and Walmart's and every other building and just roads and stoplights. And I wanted to say, where is all the countryside? Just give me a field of cows. Just give me some sheep, something. And then one day I went up in a plane, I think I was going to General Assembly, and I looked out the window and I saw all these fields and lakes. And there was just some towns and neighborhoods just dotted around here and there, but it was mainly fields, and it thrilled my heart. You know, sometimes we look around and we see such darkness, and we see the state of our society, and we see the state of the church. And we say, where's the light? It just seems like all of humanity has been swallowed up in darkness. But one day Jesus is going to come back, and we are going to go up into the sky. And then we'll get a better perspective. And then we will see how the light had been shining throughout all of history, and every elect person will be saved. And there'll be billions and billions, and not one person will be missing from the choir of the Lord Jesus Christ, and not one jewel will be missing from his crown, because Christ shines in the darkness. And the darkness cannot overcome the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world, and he will not be extinguished. He will not be overpowered. And what's most astounding is how the light expels the darkness. How does the light expel the darkness? Well, he came into the world in verse 10. Yes, but then what? What did the light do? The light lived amidst the darkness. And he lived a pure and holy life, even though he was surrounded by the darkness, by the ungodly, by the rebellious, by the ignorant. And then he took the sin and the guilt and the filth of the world, of the sins of his people, onto his shoulders. The light took the darkness upon his shoulders. And the light walked in the shadow of the cross of Calvary. And then he entered into the blackest darkness on the cross. And the light stopped shining on the light. The light stopped shining on the light. And the perfect, pure light of the world entered into the darkness of condemnation, and entered into the forsaken darkness of the wrath of God. One man said, never was Jesus the light of the world more than when he was submerged in the deepest darkness. And he arose again from the dead on the third day. And he ascended up into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of the Majesty on high, and he sent his Holy Spirit. And then God, and who in his act of creation said, "Let there be light," comes again to his chosen people and in an act of recreation says, "Let there be light." And there was light. And if you're a Christian here this morning, you've repented of your rebellion against a holy God and you've turned to Christ, it's because his light shone in your darkness. If you have a heart with a spiritual beat, it's because his light shone in your dark and stony heart. If you're here this morning and you know that you're justified, that is, you're right with God because of grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, it's because his light has shone in your darkness. If you are a child of God, if you are bearing fruit, if you're putting to death the flesh that wars against you, if you're bearing fruit and seeking to live with and for God, it's because his light has shone and is shining in your darkness. If you've realized the misery of an existence without God and now you're walking with him, it's because his light shines in your darkness. If you're here this morning, you can say, "I am his and he is mine." It's because God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in your heart to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I don't know most of you. I've only been here a month, and even then I had to have a week of isolation. I don't know where you are with God. I hope to find out. But I don't know your spiritual pulse. I don't know where you stand before a holy God. But if you're here this morning and you're still in darkness, and you've still rejected God even today, then I say to you on whatever it is, the 24th of January 2021, that I am bearing witness to the light. The light has come into the world. John the Baptist came to bear witness to the light, which is tragic. As one commentator said, Who needs to be told that the sun is shining bright in the sky? It's the blind. And if you're blind and if you're in rebellion against God even this day, that I tell you that the light has come into the world. And I tell you to flee to Christ, to turn from your sin, to flee the darkness, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that by believing in him you might have life in his name. He's the light of the world. There's no question about that. He is the light of the world. The question is he the light of your world? Is he the light of your world? He gives physical life. He gives spiritual life. He gives eternal life. In fact, Jesus says himself in chapter 8, verse 12, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." He's the light of the world. Is he your light? At the beginning, I said that if you go to Wales, then visit Blaenavon. But if you go to Switzerland, then visit Geneva. And there's the Reformation Wall in Geneva, which I haven't actually been to, but I hear is worth visiting. And in the Reformation wall, there's all these reformers, and then in the middle of the wall, there's Beza, Farrell, Calvin, and Knox. Great reformers. Up until that point, there was only medieval darkness, or mostly medieval darkness. A man-centered, self-righteous, superstitious, dead religion. And then God rose up the four men that I mentioned, and Luther and others, and they unleashed the word of God. And they proclaimed Jesus Christ and him crucified. And Europe was lit up by the knowledge of the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Millions were saved. And men and women were reconciled to God. And when you go to the Reformation wall, I'm told that there's three words that are written across the front in Latin: post tenebris lux, after darkness light. And I say to you this morning that if you are shrouded in self-righteous, self-centered, Christ rejecting darkness, then may he say the first three words that we have recorded of the Bible, in the Bible, of his speech: let there be light. And may God, by his grace, shine his light upon you so that when you go home for Sunday lunch, you can say, after darkness, light. Turn to Jesus Christ, the light of the world, and be saved. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we do know that all around us there is darkness. We live in a nation, we live in a world that has rejected you, our glorious God, and yet we rejoice that the light is still shining in the darkness, and you are building your kingdom, and you are saving your people, and you are doing it well to the glory of your name and the salvation of every last elect person. We thank you that the light came and shone in the darkness of our hearts. We thank you that in him we have life, that our sins have been removed from us as far as the east is from the west. Thank you for shining your light in the darkness of our hearts, for bringing us to the light of the world, saving us from the darkness. And our mighty God, we do pray this morning for those even here today who are still in their sin and still blinded to the light, to turn away from the light of Jesus Christ and the gospel. We pray, Lord, even this day that you would shine the light in their darkness, that they would be saved this day, that they would be able to testify after darkness light. Oh God, would you do that for them? Would you hear our prayers? Lord, we believe, help our unbelief. Save the lost. I pray, asking these things in Jesus' name. Amen.